You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Transmitted by wire.
Here is the latest news brought into your own living room.
You'll be hard to satisfy with anything less.
Let's give them something to talk about.
Talk is cheap.
Gib, gib, gib. Who is gossiping?
It's the John and Gordy Show.
This is Hi-Fi Plus.
And that's the way it is.
We'll do it live.
On 92.7 FM WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Maybe the children will have two dolls instead of 30 dolls. But you said some dolls are going to cost more.
I don't think a beautiful baby girl needs to have 30 dolls. I think they can have three dolls or four dolls.
When you say they could have three dolls instead of 30 dolls.
I'm just saying they don't need to have 30 dolls. They can have three.
Hello, darling. This is Louis. Darling. Yeah. It's so nice to have you back where you belong.
What is it about dolls?
I'm not... Why
is he so hung up on the doll thing?
Maybe, what? You know, maybe he had to buy 30 dolls. Maybe he thinks everybody buys 30 dolls for their kids.
Every Christmas?
Maybe. Seems or like maybe they think that, you know, the parents and then relatives buy all these dolls for the girls
right.
in the family.
Mm-hmm. I guess that's the way it is.
Yeah. I don't know what's wrong here. It's just really, really pathetic, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's 46 degrees, partly cloudy skies, highs in the low 60s today. We'll see a good deal of sunshine, but some clouds at times, and maybe a couple of sprinkles.
You know, maybe
late in the day.
Maybe think somewhere along the way that kids yeah. get Christmas gifts in bulk.
Maybe that's yeah. it. Could be.
Yeah, so they have a lot of dolls just in case they break one.
Don't your kids get Christmas gifts in bulk? You buy everything.
Well,
I know
everything. Yeah. Mm. Well. Yeah. You never know. They might have 30 doll packets now.
Perhaps.
You know, maybe that's what he started here.
That might be the
right.
deal.
Can we play? Why don't we play the whole cut there? Cut 35. Let's hear that whole segment. That's okay. cute. I love the Hello Dolly segment. That's terrific.
Okay.
That's really nice.
Well, we're going to expand on that.
But let's just let's get maybe about a minute's worth of that whole interview. Let's check it out.
Okay. This week got a lot of attention. You were at your cabinet meeting. You said, quote, I'm going to quote what you said, maybe the children will have two dolls instead of 30 dolls.
Yeah.
And maybe the two dolls will cost a couple of bucks more than they would normally.
Sure.
Are you saying that your tariffs will cause some prices to go up?
No, I think your tariffs are going to be great for us because it's going to make us rich.
But you said some dolls are going to cost more. Isn't that an acknowledgement that some prices will go up?
I don't think a beautiful baby girl that's 11 years old needs to have 30 dolls.
Who does that?
I think
that?
They can have three dolls or four dolls because what we were doing with China was just unbelievable. We had a trade deficit of hundreds of billions of dollars with China.
When you say they could have three dolls instead of 30 dolls, are you saying your Americans could see empty store shelves?
No, yeah. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they don't need to have 30 dolls. They can have three. They don't need to have 250 pencils. They can have five.
Pencils?
Where about
the hell
did
that come
what
from?
What about erasers? Jeez. How about balloons? What?
So it's
just
okay to have
objects.
Barren store shelves just as long as everybody's not getting 30 dolls or pencils, for that matter. Unbelievable. I don't know.
What about the crayons? I don't know.
Yeah. Jeez. You know, for some reason, I ended up with thousands and thousands of Crayola-colored pencils.
Really?
And I have no idea how we ended up getting so many of them. It's like, you know, they use one or two a lot.
Yeah.
And then you buy a whole new packet, and we just have, like, thousands of those. By the way, they're great colored pencils.
Doug is texting us from St. Francis this morning. He says, will we move doll manufacturing back to the U.S.? Maybe that's the plan.
That's it. And then buy 30 dolls for your kid.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he's focusing on taking toys away from girls.
Yeah, I don't know why.
What is this?
I have no idea. You can call us right now, 608-879-8255. The Civic Media app is the easy way to go. You can text us or call us from the Civic Media app. Dick is on the line this morning with a call. Good morning,
right, Dick.
Good. What do you got on your mind?
Well, he proves on a daily basis that he's far more complex than we ever gave him up. And I'm going to ask you something. I need some help with this. I really do.
Okay.
What party has traditionally just hated Hollywood elites, Hollywood, everything about it, and now he's going to come to the rescue of Hollywood and the movie industry and put tariffs on foreign movies?
Yeah. I mean, that is another huge story.
Right? Another one from the what, Ben? I mean, back in the 50s, they were after, like, you know, Henry Fonda and and Robert Mitchum and you know what I'm saying? Republicans in general don't like Hollywood elites, Jane Fonda, and,
right?
And now he's going to ride in on the horse and save Hollywood.
That's right. Yeah, he doesn't want, he's going to tariff 100%, I believe. Yeah. Hollywood.
Foreign films? Or?
Hollywood studios going to different countries.
Oh, okay.
To film their movies. They're going to, you know, again, I can't imagine James Bond not going to another country. That's what he does. Yeah. And, you know, they're filming all of this stuff all around the world. I mean, it's a global industry.
Right.
And we're the envy of the world. Hollywood is the envy of the world. And having Hollywood go out to these different countries and using their locations is just a fantastic thing. And now Trump wants to stop that. He wants to just film here on studio sets, I guess. That's more original.
That's the way he wants it.
And destroy everything about Hollywood just because he's got this inclination. Who is this guy? What is wrong with him, right?
I have no idea.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, Dick. That's a really good point. Yeah. That was one of the big
Thanks
stories
we were
going to cover this morning. Mm-hmm. So, but we have a different one to cover, and that is Governor Evers. Now,
oh, yes.
Last week we played a cut from a Web Wisdom, this guy who found out about a memo that Governor Evers released to public employees, and that's cut 34 on. We'll listen to that cut 34.
Okay.
We have some breaking news right now. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has instructed state employees to limit cooperation with ICE officials. Folks, this is significant, and this comes one day after FBI agents arrested a Wisconsin judge over allegedly obstructing an ICE arrest. So this is the memo that was sent out from the state of Wisconsin Department of Administration to state employees, instructing them about how to act if state employees encounter ICE or other federal agents at their workplace. You can read the full memo here, but it's also online. There are serious concerns after this judge was arrested, both in Wisconsin and across the country, about ICE agents interrupting official state business. And while now Governor Evers, who is a Democrat, is stepping up to ensure that ICE does not dictate what happens within the state of Wisconsin. It'll be curious to see whether or not other states follow suit.
All right. So that we played that last week, and I couldn't find the actual story anyplace, but it turns out to be real.
Yes.
And that's why I played it. But at the same time, then border czar Tom Homan came out with a very threatening edict for everyone out there listening, and that was for governors, elected politicians, anyone resisting ICE, including Governor Evers, okay? Now, Governor Evers took it seriously, and he took it personally, and he has a message for the state, but we'll get to that in a moment because there's a coalition of advocacy organizations on Saturday that expressed support for Evers, and they wrote, "To threaten our governor over his legal direction is gross overreaction by our federal government and is not occurring in a vacuum." They continued, warning that the administration's rhetoric and actions represent a chilling attempt to normalize fascism. Now, this is really scary stuff. This speech, I'm going to play the whole thing because this is really important. This is Governor Evers, and thank God he is our governor at this point. Mm-hmm. But here he is. Let's listen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Governor Tony Evers here. I'm speaking to you today as your governor, but also as a concerned American. Yesterday, a Trump administration official, in not so many words, apparently threatened to arrest me for distributing guidance that asks state agency employees to consult with an attorney if federal agents show up at state buildings with legal documents. The goal of this guidance was simple, to provide clear, consistent instructions to state employees and ensure they have a lawyer to help them comply with all federal and state laws. Nothing more, nothing less. But Republicans and their right-wing allies, including Elon Musk, lied about this guidance, spread misinformation, accused me of doing things I didn't do or say, and fueled a fake controversy of their own creation. Now, I'm used to Republicans and the right wing lying about me. It comes with the job. But this time, these lies came at a cost. I haven't broken the law, I haven't committed a crime, and I've never encouraged or directed anyone to break any laws or commit any crimes. But when President Trump's hand-picked appointee, Tom Homan, was asked about me and this guidance after he apparently threatened to arrest elected officials across the country, he said, wait till you see what's coming. Wait till you see what's coming. Overnight, Republican lawmakers piled on, encouraging the Trump administration to arrest me. Showing threats like this should be of concern to every Wisconsinite mm-hmm. and every American who yep. cares about this country and the values hold here. We live in the United States of America, folks. We are a country of laws. The rule of law matters. Following the law matters. In this country, the federal government doesn't get to abuse its power to threaten everyday Americans. In this country, the federal government doesn't get to arrest American citizens who have not committed a crime. In this country, we don't threaten to persecute people just because they belong to a different political party. These threats represent a concerning trajectory in this country. We now have a federal government that will threaten or arrest an elected official or even everyday American citizens who have broken no laws, committed no crimes, and done nothing wrong. And as disgusted as I am about the continued actions of the Trump administration, I'm not afraid. I've never once been discouraged from doing the right thing, and I will not start today. You know, I swore an oath when I took this office to support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin and to faithfully discharge the duties of this office to the best of my ability. I will never waver from that promise. I hope and pray every elected and appointed official in this country, including the President of the United States of America, will do the same. Forward and for Wisconsin, always. Thank you.
There you go.
Tony Evers, Governor of Wisconsin.
Extremely important speech.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the media nationwide hasn't picked up on it. Again, this is a threat toward a state governor.
Yes.
And it's huge. This is really big, and this is blown up out of proportion simply because a few right-wing radio announcers in Milwaukee brought attention to the judge mm-hmm. and then took that, and then they managed to expand it to include anyone now, anyone who resists ICE. Mm-hmm. And they can. They don't have to help. As a state, again, this is not a sanctuary law. There's no such thing. It's just that they don't necessarily have to cooperate with them in regards to it. It's a federal government thing.
Yeah, and good for Tony Evers.
Tony Evers coming out on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really strong. Really yeah. strong message for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly something to worry about eventually.
Absolutely. We're up against a break here, but I want to mention this portion of the show brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing remains constant since 1958. They are still direct to consumer and provide superior products at unbeatable prices. Check them out on the east side or west side of Madison, or just go online to verlo.com. Coming up next, we'll check in with the award-winning Brittany Merlot on the weather for this week. It's all right around the corner on John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Surf's up.
You got it. WMDX. 92.7 John and Gordy in the morning. Looks like we're going to break out the surf music for summer.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's 722. We're seeing bright sunshine
yeah.
now. Had a lot of clouds earlier. And it's going to be a nice day, all in all.
Let's find out from the award-winning Brittany Merlot.
Right.
WMDX so meteorologist. You raked in 3 whole awards. Wow.
Oh, this was I can't even believe it.
Yeah,
I
this was at
so
the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association shindig Saturday night
hullabaloo
here in Madison. Yeah, so you so tell us about the awards that you won, Brittany.
Don't take a long time. Just
It happened so fast, though. Honestly, I had no idea. And it was like one after another. It was just a whirlwind of shocked. Yeah. Still, I'm still in shock. But so
you
I won first. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. It was a lot of hard work, but it was also a lot of fun to make these stories, too, because one of them was a feature story. So it was on EAA, World's Busiest Airport. You guys remember me there live and all of that stuff talking to you. But I did a story before it even started, and it was kind of talking about how hard it is for these pilots to fly into this small little airport that becomes the world's busiest. Yeah. And so we talked about things from VFR to IFR, different flight rules, how much traffic was going in, how close they're landing and how dangerous it is and hard. And then we talked about the different severe weather that rolls through and how they tie their planes down or they try to get out. How do they evacuate with all this expensive, amazing, you know, aircraft sitting there at Oshkosh? Because we had a tornado come by in Ripon, was it 2 years ago, and threaten that event. The story was just based on advice and how to do it and how to handle the weather and get there safely in and out.
The thing that the landing field is just a parking lot for a supermarket is just amazing to me that they turned in. they were able to do that.
I think you're confused.
Brings a whole new meaning to death by driveway.
Right? Yes, death by driveway. A quote from Brittany Merlot right here on the show.
Okay, so that was one of the awards. What were the other 2 awards.
So another one I got was Best Spot News, which was a story on the cranberries and in the economy here in Wisconsin and then the freeze that was happening at that time. So basically I talked to an owner up north and he was worried about the lack of exports and, you know, where the economy was going with cranberries and where you can buy them, how you can use them. And he was just talking about all that stuff. But then what had happened was a frost hit. So they got ice on top of the marshes too late in the season and it damaged a lot of crop.
Yeah.
And so we talked about how hard it was to try to melt that ice, get the crop down, and just how they're standing knee deep in this freezing water with, you know, fire hoses trying to get the ice off. And it was a lot going on over there. So that was one of the stories for Best Spot News. And then I also had Best Newscast, which had a compile of a bunch of different stories, but one of them that was much longer was kind of focusing on Granite Peak and Rib Mountain here in Wausau area. And what they're doing right now is they're doing trail planning and stuff. So they're trying to change the trails around because of climate change. The skiable days are dwindling.
Yeah.
And so what are they going to do with this resource that we have? How are we going to keep people coming and tourism and the money and stuff like that?
Wow. Well, you know, zip line is one thing you can do.
That would be awesome. Look at you have the answer already.
I know.
Okay.
That'd be cool. I would do it.
Did you say there was a mountain up there in Wausau?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's a glorified hill.
What's it called?
I always get corrected.
Rib Mountain State Park.
Rib Mountain?
There is no mountains in Wisconsin. There are no mountains.
Oh, technically.
Okay, so anyway.
Okay, terrain than most of the state.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on all those awards.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Weather-wise today, let's get to that because we're seeing a lot of sunshine this morning and looks like a pretty good week ahead of us, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we've got an omega block. I'm sure people have heard
the omega block. I love
the
omega blocks. Yeah.
Right.
Yes, I think that's just great when we have them.
Tell us more.
They are. So just nothing but sunshine, dry weather, nothing to talk about. My job is easy this week.
Yeah.
I mean,
could phone it in.
Right? The only chance of rain we have is, I mean, there's a few sprinkles maybe this morning.
We have an award-winning meteorologist here. And you're telling her to phone it in.
Well, there's nothing going on this week. Really?
Wow, you're encouraging.
Just saying. That's what I used to do. Okay.
All right. Well, it was your secret.
So things pretty good all week long.
Yeah, temperatures near or above normal. We're going to be hanging out in those mid-60s to mid-70s. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it.
Yeah. Yay.
Very good.
All right. Excellent.
Brittany, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, we'll talk to you tomorrow. That's our award-winning WMDX chief meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Okay, wonderful.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
And this portion of the show is being brought to you by Madison Hearing Aid Center. Yes, that's right. Madison Hearing Aid Center. They believe in passion over profit. They've been in business for 67 years, building trust with Madison area families, offering personal expert hearing care at reasonable prices. They do individualized care, not one size fits all. Every customer gets a tailored experience around their specific hearing needs and lifestyle. And at Madison Hearing Aid Center, insurance is accepted. No hassles. Unlike some competitors, they work with insurance providers to make hearing care more affordable. Check them out. They are helping people and changing lives at the Madison Hearing Aid Center, 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. Go to madisonhearingaidcenter.com.
All right. All right. Excellent.
Yeah. Only got about a minute here left. Coming up right after the news here, right after the Midwest Farm Report, I should say, we'll be welcoming in Liz Johnston from Serenity Pet Spa. We'll be talking all about what Serenity Pet Spa is all about with Liz Johnston.
And how they make your pet relaxed.
Mm-hmm. And just ready take to be it all groomed. In.
It's sedatives, right? That's what they use.
Yeah, drugs.
Well, we'll ask Liz about that. This week also, Thursday night is the Madison Night Market. We'll be there right across the street in front of the Overture Center.
All right.
And that we're going to talk with Matt Trammell tomorrow about the Madison Night Market. Stay with us. More of John and Gordy right around the corner on WMDX.
Portion of the show is being brought to you by Ed's Secondhand Omelette Shop, the only diner in town featuring refried eggs. This week only, you can buy two of Ed's famous eggshell omelets for only half the price of four.
Seems like a deal to me.
I always thought that was a good deal.
7:35, we've got sunshine this morning, a few clouds out there, highs in the low 60s this afternoon. It's going to be a gorgeous day. Maybe a sprinkle or two late in the day or early this evening. And it's time for us to welcome back from Serenity Pet Spa, Liz Johnston. Good to see you again, Liz.
Good to see you guys.
Thanks
good morning.
For coming in. Yeah.
Yes, the sun is shining this morning.
Yes.
We're having a good day. Oh, yeah.
So tell us about Serenity Pet Spa. We had you in a while back, a couple of weeks or so ago, and we really just got started with that. So for people that don't know about Serenity Pet Spa, give us the overview.
The overview of Serenity. Yeah. So we are a grooming salon for mostly dogs. So we service all dogs, all sizes. We focus on kind of making it a good experience, a bit of a spa day for the dog. So we do kennel-free for when they're there, they're not sitting in a crate. Everyone's not barking at them. And then we have two locations now, a third opening this summer. Don't have a date yet. But
do you know the location? You want to mention it yet?
Yeah, it'll be in the Middleton area. Yeah,
okay.
Like the far west side. Yeah. Yep.
So you have Madison West Side on Odana Road. Correct. And then on the east side at East Park Boulevard.
Yep. It's right off American Parkway. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing pet?
So I've been grooming for
pet grooming
20 years professionally. Started showing dogs, well, about 7 years before that. So been doing my own dogs before that. And then I opened Serenity. It was 10 years ago in September. So about 10 and a half years. So
now you mentioned you do mostly dogs.
Yeah. Once in a while I do a cat, if it's a good cat.
Really, very particular about the cats. They have to make the grade.
Well, if they bite you, you go to the hospital. So
you don't want that.
No.
So you prefer dogs.
Yep. Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, also, a lot of the cats don't like our shop because of the dogs kind of being kennel free.
Ah.
So it has to be a cat that will tolerate dogs walking around them. And most cats are like, I don't want any part of this.
I consider those very important caveats.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah.
So, in all the years that you've been in business and you're expanding now, mm-hmm. you have other groomers, I assume, working with you. It's not a one-person operation by any means.
No, I'm just grooming all the dogs all day, every day. I mean, that's a lot. I don't sleep. My hands fall off. No, I actually have a training program. Uh-huh. So yes. I bring in people who want to learn to groom. And they start off, you know, kind of learning the basics, the foundations, as I like to call them, of, mm-hmm. of bathing, how to get a dog clean, how to treat a dog, how to understand their behavior. Because understanding their behavior is the biggest part of being a good groomer. Because if you can't tell if that dog is stressed, uncomfortable, in pain, just overexcited, if it's going to be aggressive, it's not safe to be a groomer for either the groomer or the dog. So I have my own training program, which is going really well.
What do you do with an unruly dog when they come in? I mean, is there a way to calm them down?
Yeah, and it really depends on what the issue is. Because sometimes dogs are just a little bit of like a separation anxiety because they're used to being with their owners all the time. They just need to like decompress. Some of them have had past experiences where maybe an inexperienced groomer did something that made them uncomfortable or made them scared. Or some are just a little kind of bullies. And they don't want to do something, and maybe they got away with it once, so they're like, ha, I can get away with it every time now. Mm-hmm. So it really just depends. You have to understand where that dog's coming from. It's just like having a toddler. Like, you have to understand, why is that toddler having a tantrum? Is the toddler hungry? Is it tired? Or is it scared? Is it angry? You know, so I'm calling kids an it now. But, you know, it's fine.
we know what you mean.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you really have to understand that. And there's plenty of times that we send a dog home without grooming it because it's not ready for it that day. And we set them up with, like, a rehab program to get comfortable with us. With us and build trust. And
John has a very active dog. You should maybe take it into Serenity Pet Spa.
She doesn't like to be groomed, and she doesn't like getting burrs taken out behind her ears, and it's really irritating me. And plus, she's a border collie, and they have this really nice coat at the back end by their tail, and it's long hair, but you know, we haven't been able to tackle that yet. It gets all matted out.
Yep.
So she would be a great customer for
you. John, you're just too permissive of a pet parent.
We've never had this before, you know. I mean, we had two border collies before that. They were fantastic. We could do anything. They let us do anything. She is just completely different.
See, every dog has their own personality and their own techniques needed. Just even my own dogs of the same breed, I have different personalities in each one of them.
Yeah.
So you really have to kind of cater to that. And one of the biggest mistakes people can make is if their dog doesn't like grooming, they avoid the groomer. So all that does is create more of a stressful situation when ultimately they need to have it done.
Yeah.
So it's nothing but a negative experience. For dogs that don't like the groomer, I recommend going more often. Because the more often they can go, the easier it is on the groomer, the easier it is on the dog, and the more they start getting used to it. They're never going to love it, but they can at least be like, okay, this is what happens here. Nothing really terrible happens. I know this person. I trust them. And like, let's just get it over with. They kind of get that, like, let's get over it mentality. Yeah.
Now, I know when I take the dog to the vet, you know, they're constantly giving her little treats in order to calm her down and relax and become familiarized with her. And then, you know, they're much more acceptable of what's going on. You don't use treats in order to tempt them.
I don't use treats mainly because, you know, we're not dealing with the dog one-on-one. If we were dealing with a dog one-on-one, I could give it that treat.
Yeah.
Anytime we let treats in the shop, somebody never fails. They steal it. So when we have dogs that come in that have allergies to certain things, and we don't want any dogs going home sick. So we don't really use any treats. We just try to do it mostly on praise and play. So they're getting rewarded with play. They're getting rewarded with, you know, attention, because we have more time to spend with them than a vet. A vet kind of needs to make a friend as fast as possible.
Yes.
Where we have them at the shop a couple hours so we can let them just sort of get to know us a little and get comfortable and get a little praise and attention as their reward.
What kind of special equipment do you use?
I mean, everything.
Yeah.
So much. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to talk about the bills.
You've got a whirlpool.
Actually, the most specialized piece of equipment we have it's called a TheraClean machine. It's a microbubble system. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it creates microscopic bubbles that go underneath the dog's skin and release any of the allergens that are underneath the surface. So a lot of, like, your shampoos, they just kind of put a Band-Aid on any skin issues. Mm-hmm. And this goes underneath the skin and pushes it out. So that's, like, our most specialized piece of equipment we have that most people don't. But it works really good for any of the dogs with major skin issues and arthritis. We have a lot of old dogs that come in, and it's almost like a massage. It feels really good. We put our hands in it all the time.
Do you?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a really cool little system.
Well,
that's
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking with Liz Johnston from Serenity Pet Spa. Now, you mentioned a few minutes ago you have the dogs for a couple hours, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
So is that the usual time?
It is not. So a lot of shops, I feel like especially in this town, a lot of shops do dogs like straight through. Mm-hmm. And there are situations where that's good for some dogs mm-hmm. That they like just kind of a quiet one-on-one thing, either like a mobile groomer or a smaller shop. We cater more to the dogs that need a little energy to take off. They need to settle in for a little bit first. Yeah. And so we're able to let them hang out and play. We give them breaks between every step. And just spend a little bit more time with the dogs because, I mean, ultimately that's why we work with dogs is because we like them. So mm-hmm. so they get it, especially the puppies. We're like, no, you cannot have your puppy back in an hour. We want to play with it.
Yeah.
So now if people want to find out more, they can contact you. How?
Mm-hmm. Our website is always the best place to start. It's SerenityPetSpaMadison.com, and then you can kind of select your location. You can reach us directly through there. Email is always great because our phones ring like crazy, and we're busy dealing with dogs. So we try not to spend time on the phone. Mm-hmm.
And I notice on your website you have a portion here where it says join our team. You're looking for groomers.
Always. We're always looking for new people, especially the new location coming. So we're always looking for people that want to learn to groom and or just want to play with dogs all day and just become bathers. Because we have some people that are just want to be bathers, like, and they don't really grow, you know, go past that. But we have people, we always have spots for people that want to learn to groom, and we're always hiring. And
excellent.
Added three people last week or last month. So
I got I got a question. You sort of alluded to this earlier. You said you've been professionally grooming for 20 years and showing dogs for 7 before that.
Yeah.
And I think on your website it mentioned that you've been in dog grooming competitions. How, what does a dog grooming competition look like?
So a dog grooming competition is basically you go into this ring, and there's like 40-plus tables in there, and they're all set up, and everyone shows up. Their dog is clean and bathed, and it's combed out, but it's got all this hair growth on it, so at least like 6 weeks of hair, which is, you know, your kind of common rotation for most dogs. So enough to make a big difference. So you show up in the ring and you have to groom it on a time frame. And then the judge comes through and they comb every single hair and they find everything you miss because there's always something. And so they comb through and then they judge you based on how well you groomed to the dog, you know, to that standard, you know. But yeah, no, I'm currently number 2 in the country right now, but I haven't been competing a lot this year. You know, the knee surgery kind of took me back a little bit, but yeah, so I'm currently number 2.
Wow.
And I was on a Groom Team USA last year. We went over to Belgium for the world competition. And,
kidding.
Yeah. Yep.
I didn't realize this was such a big deal. That's amazing.
Yeah, there were about, I think, 46 countries represented at the World Show. 26 competed, I think, with a team. So, like, it's a 4-person team, and they compete in, like, the different classes, and you get ranked, and it's a whole crazy thing. So, yeah, it was quite an experience.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Liz, thanks for joining us. And, again, if people want to find out more, you go to SerenityPetSpaMadison.com, right?
Correct. That's the one.
All right. We'll see you again sometime soon.
Absolutely. All I'll be here.
Very good. That's Liz Johnston from Serenity Pet Spa. Thanks, Liz.
All right. Yeah, that's wild stuff. Huh?
Yeah. Ah. Interesting. Okay, 7:46. This portion of the show is also brought to you by Verlo Mattress of Madison. One thing remains constant since they opened their doors in 1958. They are still direct-to-consumer, providing superior products at unbeatable prices. Check them out at 2 locations in Madison, East Side and West Side, or just go to verlo.com.
All right, we've got a few texts here from stuff we've already talked about. Steve on Mount Horeb says, I need 30 2x4 studs to complete a project. Trump thinks that I only need a couple. Prices have already gone up, and we're talking about, of course, the 30 dolls instead of just 2 very expensive dolls.
You can build a garage with 2 studs. I'm sure you could do it.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
Okay.
Yes. How about Doug in St. Francis? I think he sounds a little irritated this morning we seem to be, not taking a lot of this seriously. Spending airtime of Trump's doll theory is amusing, but it's a win for Trump, creating distraction while his administration is piece by piece dissembling the country. And he also wrote back again, in the last week, Trump has signed executive orders to end NPR and the Endowment for the Arts, this is not a distraction. So, you know, he's kind of frustrated. I know there's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, he's certainly taking care of his latest budget, which is something I really wanted to focus on, that he was suggesting to the Congress to at least include a lot of his ideas into their budget, is crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned it earlier that he wants to create not just, you know, people in Americans living paycheck to paycheck, but refugees that want to eventually leave this country.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my theory. I'm the first one in the nation to have presented
that. Is
that
right? I didn't realize that.
Yes.
It's amazing. Yes. Okay, 7:48. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show. A few leftovers, a few odds and ends, a few tidbits. Stay with us for more of John and Gordy in the Morning. Let's roll!
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Terrific if you like eating leftovers.
Leftovers?
Leftovers?
I kept the leftovers.
The leftovers!
Just some leftovers.
Leftovers for a week and a half.
He ate those leftovers!
Funeral leftovers.
Leftovers. Enjoy.
Well, I hope you enjoyed. Some of the stuff is just wacky and crazy. Some of it's really, really serious. Let's get to the Hollywood thing. Brian Stelter reacted to Trump's post saying he wants a 100% tariff on all and any movie coming to the U.S.,
How's that going?
And produced in a foreign land. You can't do it. He doesn't want to have it. Yeah. So this is coverage that I found yesterday from Brian Stelter. Let's listen to this. All right.
Okay.
And he's saying that he wants to authorize the Department of Commerce and the U.S. Trade Representative to begin the process of instituting a 100% tariff on any and all movies coming into our country that are produced in foreign lands.
God.
What is this about? I have a couple questions, but just what's your first reaction to that?
It's unclear how this would be enforced, but it's really interesting on two levels. Number one, there's something known as runaway production in Hollywood. This started actually literally in Hollywood when filmmakers would go in other parts of California to make their movies. Now, runaway production is a global phenomenon. Filmmakers go to Canada, to Great Britain, to other countries to make their movies because there are tax incentives and there are other reasons why it's more cost effective.
Locations.
So I think Trump is responding to that phenomenon, which is very real and a big problem for U.S. entertainment companies. I think he's also reacting to China because in recent weeks, China has said that it's going to release fewer U.S. films in Chinese theaters. That was one way for China to retaliate against Trump's tariffs. So Trump here using the American movie industry, trying to say films should be made here in the U.S. and trying to punish filmmakers who are making films outside the
U.S.
Yeah, it's interesting because you have to think, again, we're just trying to kind of sort through this, that there's a lot of film studios out there right now or producers, directors that are scrambling going, we're set to film wherever, Canada, like you said, or maybe if it's, you know, you think about Harry Potter shot in Great Britain. What is it, would it affect them as well? I mean, those are American-made movies by American studios, but they're shot somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right. That's partly what's so interesting about Hollywood. Hollywood is a foreign export, you know, and every other country wants a version of it. You know, there's so much envy of the American movie industry, even as the American movie industry is increasingly multinational and happening all around the world. So Trump is saying the actual production should be in the U.S. How this would be implemented is unclear. And I think, you know, it does raise questions about productions that are happening right now. For example, there had been talk, though, in recent months about tax incentives, other ways to encourage U.S. production. What he's trying to do here is punish the outside the U.S. production as a way to incentivize production at home in the U.S.
You know, he should incentivize, you know, other countries producing their movies here in this country, not doing it the other way around by Never mind. Just that he's an idiot. I don't think he's even been to a movie in years. Now let's get to a big story, and this is huge.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Kristen Welker on NBC heard Trump say he has a voter permission to deport immigrants without due process guaranteed by the Fifth Amendment. Apparently, voter permission supersedes any old constitutional mumbo-jumbo.
Voter permission.
And besides, there are too many deportees, and that would take forever to prosecute and give due process. Here's Cut 26. This is Kristen Welker with Trump.
Your Secretary of State says everyone who's here, citizens and non-citizens, deserve due process. Do you agree, Mr. President?
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer.
Don't know.
I don't know.
Don't know.
The Fifth Amendment says.
I don't know. It seems. It might say that, but it if might. You're talking about that, then we'd might. Have to have 1 million or 2 million or 3 million trials.
How
we have
do
thousands
that?
Of people that are some murderers and some drug dealers and some of the
Many
worst people
not.
On earth.
But
some of the worst, most dangerous people on earth.
Most
and
just
I was
families.
Elected to get yeah. them the hell out of here, yeah. and the courts are holding me from doing it.
Yeah.
But even given those numbers that you're talking about, don't you need to uphold the Constitution of the United States as president?
I don't know. I have to respond by saying again, I have brilliant lawyers that work for me. And they are going to obviously follow what the Supreme Court said. What you said is not what I heard the Supreme Court said. They have a different interpretation.
Unbelievable,
lawyers,
eh?
Lawyers have a different
just
interpretation.
Yeah, there are different little nuances sure. in every possible word sense. You can think of. So yeah. I know. Could you play Cut 27 real quick? I think we can get this. This is an immigration lawyer. Let's play a little part of it anyway.
I'm an immigration attorney, and just the blatant disregard that this administration has had for very clear court orders has been absolutely terrifying.
What's your take on the president invoking the Alien Enemies Act of 1798?
When you look at the history of the times we've used that law in our country, and it's not exactly, you know, a gleaming point in our history.
Why is it important to protect people that do have the legal status, even if they did come into this country illegally?
If one person doesn't have due process, none of us do. Under the Constitution, everybody has due process, not just citizens. So it's not as if, you know, citizens are in our own special category. Like, no, it is due process for all. So due process for losing it for one person means that it's at risk for every single one of us.
Yeah, yeah.
So there you have it. Yeah.
I
due process.
It seems like it's pretty troublesome.
It's in,
I mean, you have to deal
the
with
Constitution,
that.
But, you know, get
there's
the lawyers.
So many people that have to be deported. It's just ridiculous.
It's out of control.
You know, there are just a few maybe criminals out of all of the tens of thousands they want to ship out of here.
A bunch of innocent people in there, too. Yeah.
Yeah, innocent people. But, you know, due process would discover those innocent people, and we don't want to take all that time. That's too much time.
Yes. Well, before we wrap up, I want to mention this portion of the show brought to you by MadisonHearingAidCenter.com at 4706 Cottage Grove Road in Madison. They have fast, flexible appointments. They're family-owned and community-focused, in business for 67 years, individualized care and insurance is accepted, no hassles. Go to their website, MadisonHearingAidCenter.com. You can do an online hearing test there, too. Check them out.
They personalized, they tuned it to your hearing. So
parameters.
It's great stuff. Yeah.
Yes, it's all good.
Easy, easy.
Tomorrow on the show, we'll talk to Matt Trammell from Madison Night Market. The first one's happening this Thursday. We'll be there, too, right across the streets in front of the Overture
Center. John and Gordy Balls. They'll be there.
The ball's out. Okay. Stephanie Miller's next. Have a great day.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.